is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, Bahamas. This is Dr. Gregory Pinto, Bahamian urologist, and this is Urologist Speaks with my co-host, Bahamian surgical oncologist, Dr. Wesley Francis. Good evening, Dr. Francis.
Evening, Dr. Pinto, and good evening, Bahamas.
Okay, we're here, as always, to promote healthy living. We're trying to improve the longevity of individuals in the Bahamas, and not just the longevity in terms of the number of years on this earth, but the quality of life. We want to improve the quality of life, and you want to live longer and live better, essentially. And we're also promoting proactive medicine. We're trying to be preventative, not just reactionary, in terms of let's prevent things from happening, and if they do happen, let's pick them up early. So right now, we're going to talk about an interesting topic that's going to pertain to men, women, across the board, and that's just basically living well in terms of living longer and living gracefully, aging gracefully. There are many things that happen to us as we get old. It's inevitable. If we're blessed with advanced age, we're going to start to break down. And there are many ways that that can happen. For men, I think it's a very important topic that afflicts a large number of men in this country, and that's related to testosterone and the falling levels of testosterone and the terrible effects it can have on many aspects of their life. I'm going to talk about urinary issues as you get older related to men and women. As many as one in three women have an overactive bladder. There are far too many women in this country, maybe as many as 20-25% of women of all ages, once they've had one child, who are living on a panty liner or on a pad. You don't have to live like that. Incontinence is a major problem for women in this country. It affects their social development, their interactions with people, their self-confidence. So let's address important issues that a lot of women are embarrassed to speak about and often suffer in silence. So the first topic is testosterone. A lot of, even physicians don't know a lot about testosterone. So as we get older, when we talk about men and women going through puberty, we reach puberty and then we, in our 20s, we usually reach a pinnacle in terms of our testosterone levels. Then from the age of 30, every young man is going to have a fall in testosterone at least 1 to 2% per year after the age of 30. By the age of 40, a lot of men are going to have some symptoms of low testosterone, particularly in our society. For women, it's a little bit different. You reach puberty, your hormones basically stay the same until you reach menopause, and then it's basically you go over almost a cliff, the hormonal cliff, and then all of a sudden there's an abrupt change in terms of your hormonal makeup inside your body. But for men, it's usually a gradual decline. So when we talk about male menopause, which is a real thing, it's called andropause. It's usually a slow, progressive change that a lot of men are not going to realize themselves because it almost becomes their new normal. For women, it becomes an abrupt change when they enter menopause or they're premenopausal, and it happens over a few years, but for a man, it can happen over 20, 30 years, and it's usually a slow, progressive change where all of a sudden they see that their body composition is changing. They're putting on more centripetal fat, really more around the midsection. They're losing their muscle mass. They may not have to shave as often. They're losing hair on their arms and their legs. And usually break down low testosterone into three different categories. Usually, obviously, we're going to talk about the sexual connotations in terms of you're going to have a low libido. For men, difficulty to maintain and achieve an erection. There may be less in form of ejaculate. The orgasms may not be as intense or enjoyable. You may also have issues with desensitization of the genitals themselves. So it's a complex issue, and it's a disturbing issue for many men.
So Greg, I just to say, I mean, you said 1% per year decline from around age 30. So what you're saying is that around age 50, most men would have at least a 20% decline in their level of testosterone.
That's correct. You also have to put it in perspective is that some men have higher levels to begin with than others.
Yeah. So what are the things that a man can do other than, let's say, other than pharmacology or supplements or anything like that? What can you do naturally to improve or maintain your level? Or is this something that, you know, is going to happen no matter what you do? What can you do to improve it or to slow the decline?
I mean, there's so many things that Bahamian men and Bahamian residents are doing because of their sedentary lifestyle, because of their poor lifestyle choices that hasten the decline in testosterone and basically exacerbate the symptoms and signs of low testosterone. If you want to maintain your testosterone, it's the same as the advice we'll give for anyone who wants to have a healthy body. You want to maintain a more normal body mass index. You want to avoid developing diabetes, because if you have diabetes, that increases your risk of lowering testosterone as well as obesity, so you want to avoid obesity. You want to have regular exercise in your life. You want to sleep well. You want to avoid tobacco products. You want to avoid the excess consumption of alcohol. You want to avoid opioid pain medication. If you do have sleep apnea or you suspect you have sleep apnea, I'm going to talk in a minute more in detail about the role of sleep apnea and the link between obesity, sleep apnea, and low testosterone. You want to address that and get treated for sleep apnea.
So what about, let's talk more about the sleep. You said, you mentioned to slow your decline, you should sleep more. How much, how long, or in terms of sleep, how much sleep should a man get? And I mean, I know you talk about a difference in the quality of sleep. Talk a little bit about that.
So when we talk about optimizing your cardiovascular health, you want to aim for at least 7 hours of sleep. It's very difficult with this busy world where you have kids, you have occupation, you have so many things on your plate to get that continuous 7 hours of sleep. But that's what we're aiming for. And for kids, particularly younger kids, even in teenage years, you want to aim for even 8 or 9 hours of sleep. Too many of our young persons are going to school fatigued, and they're really not getting out of school what they should because of that fatigue. A lot of it, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, is the fact that we do it to ourselves. We consume caffeine products late in the evening, late in the night. That's a stimulating effect that's going to cause you to pee more frequently, more urgently, with larger volumes of urine. That's going to have you up throughout the night. It's going to be difficult to fall asleep as well.
So there's 7 hours, you're saying? 7 hours complete? Or what about the guy who says that, you know, I wake up in the middle of the night, but I'm still able to fall back asleep. Is that a problem, or it has to be a sustained seven hours?
It's a cumulative. I mean, some people are light sleepers. Yeah. Some people fall asleep very easily. Some people take 45 minutes to an hour and a half to fall back asleep. So everybody's different. But you want to talk about not just the length of sleep. You want to talk about the quality of the sleep itself. And that's when we talk about the different types of sleep. We talk about REM sleep. We talk about non-REM sleep. Rapid eye movement sleep is where you have that deep sleep, where you're going to get refreshed, replenished, where the testosterone that a man uses throughout the day is going to be replenished during REM sleep. That's the period of sleep where you dream as well. If you have non-REM sleep predominantly, that means that you're not dreaming. You're not replenishing the testosterone. You're not getting that replenished sleep. And that is essentially what obstructive sleep apnea is. You can sleep for 10 hours and still wake up more fatigued than when you first went to sleep, waking up with a headache, wishing you had another 5 hours of sleep because it felt like you never really had any rest whatsoever. It's because you're perpetually, every minute you're in REM sleep, your body just juts you out into non-REM sleep. So you're not getting that replenishment. So there are two reasons you're going to feel fatigue. First, you're not getting enough REM sleep, and your testosterone is falling every single night. So for many men, it's a pandemic in this country, particularly for middle-aged men, is where they're feeling obese, they're not feeling like themselves, they don't recognize the body that they're inhabiting, and it's not just in terms of their body habitus. There's so many other manifestations of low testosterone.
So what about the guy who says to you, well, I have trouble falling asleep, and I take maybe a melatonin, or I take a shot or something to calm me and relax me to get me to sleep. I mean, what do you say to a person like that?
I would say try to do it naturally. Try to have some exercise late in the evening that's going to allow you to have that good night's sleep. Try and meditate. Listen to some relaxing music. Try to take away the burden that's on your mind throughout the day. Stop thinking about what you're going to do at work or what went wrong throughout the day. You're going to overwhelm yourself if there's some people who just can't sleep because they can't switch off. So you can do that by trying to. Some people enjoy yoga. Some people enjoy meditation. Some people enjoy reading a relaxing book before they go to sleep. You want to limit your use of iPads, computers, visual stimulation, particularly for children. That's very stimulating, and that's going to inhibit them from sleeping well, and that can cause severe sleep disturbances.
So say I'm a 50-year-old, you say this natural decline. I watch some commercials, direct-to-consumer commercials that talk about these supplements that can increase my testosterone level. What's your advice on that? Is that something that people should just go out and get? I mean, you see this commercial with the guy swinging a baseball club and all of that other stuff, and they say that you will have a better performance and all of that if you take this pill. Tell me about that.
Low testosterone is a major issue for men throughout the world, and because of that, because particularly
it's a huge industry, right?
It's a billion-dollar industry. So if they can promise you things that they shouldn't be promising you, because studies have shown conclusively that these supplements really do little to nothing to help you. And some of them are not even FDA approved and can be very dangerous because they're made very cheaply and they've never gone through any human trials.
So why, if I take it orally, it does not make a difference to my blood levels?
When we talk about when you're taking in testosterone, it has to be metabolized by the liver. And the issue with taking in testosterone, it can lead to liver toxicity. So for the last several decades, up until 2022, and that's only 3 years ago, the FDA didn't have any oral form of testosterone supplementation because it was dangerous for you to take it. So you had to either take the injection, or you need to take the pellet, or you need to take the patch, or the gel, which are very efficacious ways of still taking testosterone. But there is now a new form of testosterone, undeconate, which bypasses the liver and is basically directly absorbed by the small bowel, which is a game changer for a lot of people who don't like injections, for a lot of people who don't like the mess of a gel or the inconvenience of putting on a patch and bathing and then putting the patch back on. This oral form of testosterone can do wonders for them. And that's something that was just FDA approved in 2022. But as we always say on this radio show, we always need to treat the root cause. So we can give you testosterone, but if it's, for example, if it's because of obstructive sleep apnea, it's almost as if we put water in a bucket and the bucket has holes in it. We're never going to get that bucket filled with water because we're not treating the root cause. So late onset hypogonadism, which is a form of aging that leads to low testosterone, is a real manifestation throughout the world and every society, and very much so in our society where there's a high level of obesity, a high level of diabetes. We tick all the boxes in terms of men being at risk of having low testosterone. So because of that, there's so many men out there that don't understand why they are a shell of their former self in so many ways. We talk about we basically put three categories in terms of what low testosterone does to men. And obviously, men will have that connotation of sexual dysfunction, as I mentioned, low libido, less intense orgasms, difficulty maintaining and achieving erection, which is very important. Maybe that's the most important thing for a Bahamian man. And that's not
men in general.
Well, I think Bahamian men in particular. Yeah. But then we look at category two. We look at non-sexual symptoms. You look at things such as brain fog. You have cognitive decline. You have memory lapses and issues, which particularly short-term memory, which can be a negative impact on your professional life, your social life. If you can't remember where you put your keys, when you're trying to study something related to your profession and you can't remember simple things, it can have a negative, terrible negative impact. It can lead to marital discord because your wife tells you something you just don't remember and she thinks that you just don't pay attention to her, you don't listen to her. So it can make you feel old before your time, essentially. It can lead to a lack of motivation. A lot of men will describe when they have low testosterone is they don't enjoy the things that they used to love to do. If they love to do something before, they just don't have that interest in it. They don't have that impetus to do things. They don't have that drive in work. They're going to have a decline in their professional outcome and success.
So what is the additive effect? And we talk a lot on this program about alcohol and tobacco. So when you have a man in this natural decline, and let's say some sleep apnea too, and then
excess alcohol is going to exacerbate obesity. It's going to exacerbate. You're going to put you at greater risk of developing diabetes.
Yeah,
it's going to put you at greater risk of having obstructive sleep apnea. So even when we had the COVID-19 pandemic, studies have shown conclusively that which men did worse, and it was always men who had low testosterone. Which men were admitted to hospital? Low testosterone. Which men had the very low testosterone, ended up in ICU? Who were the men who needed to be intubated? It's the men who had the low testosterone. So testosterone is very important for, and I'll get into this as well, protective for your cardiovascular health as well. So it can lead to your longevity, not just your longevity, but the quality of your life on this earth. We have a call. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Yes. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, my question to you is, are there any natural means a male could or a man could get testosterone other than using pharmaceutical patch and other chemicals that you would apply for a man for him to take to get an erection or to have testosterone levels raised?
Yeah, so I'd like to address that issue right there. Just because you have erectile dysfunction doesn't necessarily mean you have low testosterone. Even if you have low testosterone numbers in terms of your blood studies, whether it's total testosterone or free testosterone, it doesn't necessarily mean we need to treat you and doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be symptomatic.
As I
mentioned earlier, I don't know if you missed it, it's basically healthy living. We're promoting healthy living. You want to maintain a normal body mass index. You want to eat healthy. You want to reduce your sugary and carbohydrate intake. You want to make sure that you have some exercise. You want to make sure you get as close to 7 hours of sleep a night.
And not being obese.
Obesity and low testosterone go hand in hand. Obesity get middle age and something
called... But my question to your doc is still, right? Are there any natural means you know of that a man can take to get, like... testosterone levels to be raised?
In terms of supplements, no. So there have been studies that looked at vitamins, we looked at zinc and other things. They haven't conclusively shown to improve your testosterone, particularly if you're not treating the root cause. So there's no easy solution. There's no quick, easy fix. So try to be the healthiest version of yourself, and you would find that your testosterone level is really rarely going to be an issue.
Yeah. Hey, but Doc, what I'm saying to you is, right, in the natural world, right, there are plants that produce testosterone that at least males and female can take. Because, you know, testosterone doesn't stop at the male.
Correct. Yeah, men and women have testosterone. Men and women have the hormone estradiol as well, yes.
Right. So what I'm saying to you is, if you do your research, you would find that there are certain plants that have high levels of testosterone than taken. And they call it, basically, it gives you a serotonin, melatonin, you know, and you can get your sleep and everything. And the plant is called Meconopyrian. You can look that up.
I've heard of it. Yes. No, I always promote, there's a lot of benefit through the naturopaths, and there's a lot to be learned from that. It's not all modern medicine. So even you have to look at not only improving your testosterone level, it's the type of testosterone. We have to look at the estradiol level. We need to look at the dihydro testosterone. So, for example, there's a medication called Clomid, Clomiphene. That will increase your sperm numbers, your spermatogenesis. So that's something that we usually give to men who have low testosterone and have male infertility. So that will, and maybe 30% of men, increase your sperm numbers. That'll also improve your testosterone levels. But studies have shown that that doesn't improve you in terms of the benefits of having a higher testosterone level. And that is because when we look at of Clomid, essentially what Clomid is going to do, it's anti-estrogen. So it basically will increase your testosterone by making the sensory area between the pituitary gland and the hypothalamus and the brain believe that there isn't enough estrogen. So this will cause the body to make more FSH, follicular stimulating hormone, and more LH, luteinizing hormone, which will promote more testosterone production. But the symptoms don't really improve.
Doc.
Yes.
Doc, I understand through my research that the chemicals that you are talking about on the human body, it can't really breach the blood-brain barrier. You're taking it, but you're peeing it back out. Meconopyrian breaches the blood-brain barrier if you get a clove of garlic, right?
Yes.
And you put it on your hand, and you take that the other hand and isolate it in a different room. You would smell that garlic on your hand, the other hand, okay?
Because
garlic breaches the blood-brain barrier. Meconopyrian breaches the blood-brain barrier so that the testosterone from the plant, well, the minerals only could assimilate through plants to go into the human body, not through, well, the chemical means that you were talking about. You wouldn't give a chance to the Meconopyrian to none of your patients because you wanted to keep on coming back, hey, Doc?
No, not that. I'm here sacrificing my time after a very long day. Both Dr. Francis and I operated all day, and we also saw patients. So we're here trying to provide free service and trying to improve the quality of life for our fellow Bahamians. So obviously, I'm open to that, but we also have to look at what I said initially, and that's the same across the board in medicine. Treat the root cause. We can take all the most effective products, natural products in the world, but if we're not treating the root cause, our testosterone is always going to fall. So let's treat the root cause first.
But Doc, what is really ironic, right? We and every other creature, right? All of us come from nature, right? Right? Hello?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, guess what? And for what I see...
Let me counter that before you say it. For example, it's rare, but let's say you have what we call a pituitary adenoma. You can take all the plant products in the world, which is causing your low testosterone to fall. Unless we address a pituitary adenoma, which could actually be life-threatening, it's not of any benefit. So just looking at what the low testosterone is, and if you're having symptoms of it, let's find out why you have low testosterone first. If we can stop you from losing the testosterone, then we can build it up from many ways, even the natural ways. I agree.
Yeah, but like in this life, like every other creature, like I'm telling you, right? We are the only creatures bound by chemicals.
I agree.
Because man chooses to be that way. The food we eat, right down to the food we eat, you know, man manipulate that. Everything man wants to manipulate, right? And then on the other end of the spectrum, they know that all these manipulation of disabled, the food, you're going to genetically modify every single thing, right? You know that, well, the human body ain't based on no genetically modified anything. And at the other end of the spectrum, well, they created the food and everything the way they want it to be, to throw the human cycle off. And at the end of the spectrum, we got you and other doctors who are saying, well, we're trying to fight and find the cure for cancer and all these other different ailments that were created by men who manipulate our food, give us our chemicals to say, visit a doctor, you know, to take these chemicals, but don't really assimilate with the body, to be taken by the body. But we are mandated by it because that's how societies are created, and we all must fall under the auspices of a doctor before we die. And I find it ironic because we it's like a curse we live. And we claim to be a Christian nation of God. Of God is nature. Of the devil is what man create. But we live it for what man, and even Christians, they live by a doctor, and the doctor say, oh, because the doctor say, I take it. Doc, would you take all the things that you tell people to take? No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't dare do that. Because you know the consequences. Every chemical you take, 10 side effects. The patient comes back, oh, doc, I feel this way, and I feel it. What you been doing? I've been taking the chemicals that I didn't cause it. What I'll do, I will give you other chemicals that will do another thing. Will you have the next 10 side effects? What about nature? What about the food we eat that heal our bodies naturally? We have enough to go to say, we'll see a doctor and some traumatic, something that happened in our lives. Just like a curse we have to live. And it ain't fair. It ain't fair to be living as humans, man.
Well, in life, everybody has their opinions, and I'm glad you are here to share it in this democratic society. So obviously, you've made some very valid points, and in life, there's always going to be those who are opponents and proponents. So yes, there is a role for natural products, but to try to promote not seeing a doctor or not taking medicine, I think that's a very antagonistic, negative view. I think you need to...
I think modern medicine has helped a lot of people. Yeah, we know that. And there's nothing... There's no magic bullet. And I think one of the things that we try to promote on this radio show is the healthy living, healthy lifestyle, which involves basically good nutrition, exercise, managing weight, avoiding alcohol, avoiding tobacco. These are things that, are going to help your body stay within a stable, healthy state. But disease exists, whether you like it or not. If you have diabetes for whatever reason, and some people have diabetes not because of anything that a man has made, but they may have some form of mutation. Some people are born with diabetes. Type 1 diabetes is because, you know, the body, for whatever reason, lacked the ability to produce insulin. And what's been life-saving for those patients, those individuals, is that we give them pharmacology, we produce insulin, and you give them, and you save their life. And they can live long with that. So, you know, there are trade-offs with everything. And I think we have to be able to understand that every medication that you take has a side effect, right? But we're here to promote healthy living. We're here to promote wise choices. I'm in the oncology space or where I take care of cancer patients, and I see it all the time. Yeah, where some patients may decide to not do chemotherapy or other agents like that we say would help them, and they decide to go totally naturopathic. And I'm just being honest, I'm just giving my observation. In those situations, you know, I've never seen anybody to do well. Now, I'm sure that there may be one or two and whatever, but healthy living is what we're trying to promote here today. And I think people just have to make wise choices. And this is a free country. You can choose to do whatever it is that you want to do. But I'll tell you, modern medicine has helped more than it has harmed. And I'm not here to say that there's no harm associated with any sort of medication, because there are. But it's to a minimal amount. There's more good than the bad.
Oh, when you talk about vaccinations.
Yeah, I mean, we've played that one out, right? But let me ask you another thing, Greg, because...
We have another
caller? Oh, okay.
Good evening. Yeah. This is Urologist Speaks.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Pinto, and... I'm not familiar with
Dr. Francis.
I've heard him a few times on the radio. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
You know, the last caller, he did some research and he made a very some key points. But firstly, you know, in my years of reading nutritional healing, prescription nutritional healing, right? There are, you know, Dr. Pinder, you know, I like to listen to you all, right?
Yes.
Because the doctors would know the molecular events, even though I may know natural homeopathic medicine, et cetera, et cetera. But I would just like to share. But firstly, Dr. Pinder, I'd like to say, right, from my reading, I've learned that high fructose corn syrup and some refined sugars do breach the blood-brain barrier. So in case, I don't know if he knew that. And it has been shown to produce cognitive decline in mice, all right? And causes dysfunction of the microglia or the microbial cells. You guys know what they are. I shouldn't even be talking about what a doctor should know what that is. And so it obviously causes them to misfunction, and they start to eat healthy brain cells and then produces dementia, whatever. You understand me?
Yes.
This is a study that is proven. Now, as it relates to natural prescriptional healing, you know, I have this book that my mom gave me. This book is about 30-something years old, okay? Almost, I had it for about 20-something, almost 30 years. So what I would see is that the natural medicine is okay, but when you look at it, they will let you know that you can use the stems, the roots, the seeds, the leaves, et cetera, the fruits. Some natural medicine, you can use all of those, and then somebody would specify that you don't use the roots, you don't use the stem, you don't use the seeds, because seeds in plants, some seeds, I guess, through natural selection, some plants produce toxins to protect seeds in order to germinate, right or wrong?
Correct.
I don't know if you guys know that, but that's what I've learned through my travels. Yeah, so what I'm saying is, to dismiss a doctor would be counterintuitive, because medicine do interact. So if take, for instance, moringa. A lot of people talk about they eat moringa seeds, but even when you read up on moringa, it tells you that it is not good to eat the seeds basically at all, but if you can eat one or two. But the seeds are actually used to extract toxins out of water. But it obviously, I used to eat the flowers and the leaves, etc. So I just given a perfect example why a plant is different. You know, it's just the way it is. It's in the book, and they will explain to you that some portions of the plant you don't use, like neem. A lot of people use neem, and some of these things have toxicity effects on the liver, etc. You know, I mean, that's just the way it is, man. I don't know why people think you could just plants have toxins. Then that's what I'm saying. Is you see, Dr. Pinder, the olaranda, the strychnine from India. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So you know, but the thing is, as it relates to the antigonadic trophic attack that the human body's undergoing as far as decreased spermatozoan count, et cetera, these things do exist. Dr. Pinder, you know how, I'm not afraid to say this, how large my prostate was, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not just looking at one specific cause for that. You see what I'm saying? When he mentioned something about testosterone. I didn't hear him mention anything about dehydrotestosterone, but my question is, isn't something simple like exercising and, you know, like doing just physical exercise increases testosterone naturally?
Very much so. So that was what I, at the onset, that was I was saying. Natural ways, that's just basically healthy living, whatever that is. That's exercise.
And that is why it's good to listen to. But this is something that I read and I knew, but increasing muscle mass, et cetera, but well, how is there, but I guess so when you guys test for testosterone, you can also test for dehydrotestosterone?
Well, essentially, you can, but usually what we do is we check for the total testosterone, which is a morning value. We're not going to diagnose you with low testosterone just on one value. We'll do it on two values that are low. And we also will look at free testosterone as well. So many studies have shown that free testosterone is more important than total.
Dr. Pinto, he was, I kind of agreed with him as it relates to the pharmaceutical industry. And, you know, I've been down these rabbit holes for a long period of time, and you know, most of us we don't read the side effects of these medications. And there's a lady called Lindsay Vaughn, I think they have taken off of the internet, but she was actually a salesperson for Merck, and it's a horror story. You know, she was terrorized, she was eventually killed, and implausible deniability. And he was testifying against the Vioxx drug, and they have all the data in the natural cures. They don't want you to know, but they have all the deaths from the Vioxx and a lot of other drugs that they have been allowed to put onto the market and then subsequently take them off after. You know, it's just they're allowed to get away with a lot of stuff. And they are cohorts with governments and the WHO. We saw it during the pandemic. They lied about ivermectin and all of these. They lied about so many things. And it's frightening because what he actually was speaking about a scientific dictatorship that I have been talking about for almost over a decade on the radio. But most people don't seem to think, either just, well, I don't know if you know that terminology, but it is somewhat a scientific dictatorship. We saw it during the pandemic. But, like, I'm not going to knock all doctors. I love you guys. It's some guys down on the side of humanity, Dr. Pinto. I just hang up and listen.
Well, I thank you for your very learned views. You're very well educated and very well read, and you made some excellent points. So when we're talking a little bit more about low testosterone, we already talked about the sexual negative connotations and effects. We talk about brain fog, lack of motivation, lack of discipline, mood disturbances. Often men will say they're just basically going through the motions in life instead of enjoying things in life like they used to. So basically they have very little pleasure in living. They only exist. And that is very characteristic of low testosterone. And a lot of men don't even realize they're going through that. A lot of men don't even realize that they're going through that. But it's the wives, it's the children, it's the grandchildren, it's the colleagues at work or friends at church who are going to realize that your whole personality has changed. Your mood has changed. You have issues with depression, anxiety, and as I mentioned, cognitive decline. You can have decrease in bone density, which if you fall, you can lead to fractures. So it's a whole cascade of events. You can lead to insulin resistance. You can have increased fat around the visceral organs. That can lead to increased risk of developing type 2 diabetes later in life. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more. We have a couple calls on hold at the end of the break.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I line up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone. So nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. This is Urologist Speaks with Bahamian Urologist Dr. Gregory Pinto and Bahamian Surgical Oncologist Dr. Wesley Francis. We were talking about aging gracefully. We're talking about living longer and living a better quality of life. We were mentioning the decline in testosterone and a lot of men not even aware of what the testosterone is and how it affects them. We have a call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
Dr. Pinto and Dr. Francis, please listen to me. I want to be very, very, very much responsible in this comment. In my career for more than 40 years, I serve men in my career. And as you talk about testosterone, I am in our conversation, sometimes we ask the question of, is there a gender war, or personality play a role of man getting an erection? Like I said, I want to be very responsible. As we have this conversation, some men go home and their battery is dead because personality have a play a role in not him performing. And he can go right around the corner to his mistress and his battery is charged up. What I'm asking is this. Like you said, with the testosterone, if I'm asking the question is right, do personality can play a role in a man not performing and not getting a perfect erection because of personality and his testosterone is still active? Am I asking the right question?
You are. So the interplay between many factors is very complex in terms of getting an erection and maintaining an erection and having a normal sexual libido or drive. So we look at, you need a proper nerve supply to your member, male member. You need a proper blood supply. You need to have a normal or near-normal testosterone level. And you can never diminish the effect of the psychological, the emotional. You can have all the physiological factors working perfectly. And if you have the psychological or the personality thing, as you mentioned, affecting you negatively, whether it's stress at work or marital discord or infidelity or anything, a wife calling you a negative name and you just cannot forgive her for that, obviously you're not going to be able to perform as you once were. Even we talk about every man has an issue with sexual dysfunction at one time. And if they don't admit it, they're lying. But a lot of it might just even be fatigue. It might be stress. It might be emotional. Their mother might have died a month ago. And that can manifest the next time because you're overthinking everything in terms of relaxing and trying to enjoy the sexual experience and achieve an erection. You're going to overthink things. And because you're overthinking, that psychological aspect is going to be your downfall and you're not going to be able to perform. One time you don't perform, it might be because of emotional or even low testosterone, and then your wife, your partner, your girlfriend is going to say, oh, now you have a sweetheart. Oh, now you don't feel I'm attractive anymore. So you don't want that stress. You don't want your loved one to feel like that. So you're overthinking things, and you're trying so desperately to perform the second time around on the second occasion, and that basically you're causing yourself to fail, and that happens with so many men. So, yes, you're very right, and I wanted to say at the outset, I'm not talking about testosterone just in terms of the sexual performance and it allows you to have sexual performance. I'm talking about it in terms of, and I'm going to get into it right now, your cardiovascular health, your increased risk of a stroke or heart attack because you have low testosterone, and just in terms of psychologically, emotionally, mood disturbances, etc., what low testosterone can do for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And the spouse do play a major role in motivating her or him, right?
Well, I always encourage, when I see somebody for erectile dysfunction, I always encourage couples to come in because it's a problem that they need to solve together, and it's a problem that they face together, and they shouldn't be facing it separately, and the wife shouldn't be thinking this and thinking that, and the man coming home and saying, Dr. Pinto said I have low testosterone or I have uncontrolled diabetes and that's what's causing my erection. And she's going, no, it's your sweetheart. You got a sweetheart. No, I gained 10 pounds. It must be that. It's better. Let's just put everything on the table. Let's talk about what causes an erection, what causes erectile dysfunction, and let's just have a open discussion with the two partners, with the urologist or your physician, et cetera.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So, thanks for your call.
So, Greg, obviously performance anxiety also from a psychological perspective
very much
has an effect. But I think sometimes people feel that every time you bat 100%. I mean, as a urologist, can you educate men?
Not every time is going to be a home run.
Right.
There's so many factors involved.
You don't bat 100% here. I mean,
very much so. Right? A lot of times you go out and you drink a little bit too much. That's going to negatively impact you.
But I think most men feel like, you know, the pressure that they should be batting 100% all the time.
And not only that, the number one form of erectile dysfunction is premature ejaculation. 1 in 3 men have premature ejaculation, and the vast majority of men suffer with that needlessly for their lifetime.
Yeah.
And they're not confident because of it. So if 1 in 3 men have the problem, please seek help. You're not alone. We have another call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Hi, Dr. Pinto and Dr. Francis. Good evening to both of you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Just want to say that I am thankful to you guys and also the Guardian Radio for providing the opportunity for, firstly, having a program like this to discuss from a man's point of view the men's health agenda that is so necessary. I mean, we hear all the time about women's health, but men's health in particular, the misperceptions and the misconceptions that persons have as it pertains to why we suffer so many things, especially there are many men that suffer things in silence with the accusations and all these other things. It's good to lay this stuff out in the open, which helps psychologically partners as well as the individual men themselves. Two things I would like to put on the table here, and I'm happy to hear that you both have discussed the myriad of issues pertaining to men's health as it pertains to environment, stress, food, low testosterone, so on and so forth. My question is, with those low testosterone in particular, how can I put this? How salient is it that low testosterone is really impacted or affected by the food products in particular that we eat? I believe that a lot of the things that goes on with many of us as human beings is that the food that we are consuming plays a significant part or a significant role in the myriad of issues that we have from a health perspective. I often think about our families on the various family islands who are not faced with a lot of the issues that we have in the more developed islands like Nassau, like New Providence, Freeport, Grand Bahama, Abaco, and so on and so forth. The longevity of life, the health issues are not as invasive as they are here in the more developed islands. They tend to live longer, healthier, happier lives. And we here import so much stuff from these other countries. It comes right back down to the quality of foods, the quality of the health care. It comes down to the stress levels that we put up with on a daily basis, and so on and so forth. So it isn't any one significant thing, but a myriad of things that impacts our health to a detrimental level. And so, as far as pharmaceuticals are concerned, I am one that I am not a proponent of pharmaceuticals at all. I believe in the naturopathic way, where a lot of our fruits and vegetables, and even with those now, you can't really be assured because everything is modified. Most things are genetically modified, where the nutritional values of these things that naturally we used to consume, like on the family islands where they grow their stuff naturally instead of importing the stuff, you find, too, again, that the health issues that we experience here is not as what they experience on the family islands. So the conversation that you're having in short and in closing is one that is extremely important, especially to men. I find that men are in a massive shortage in any society, especially here in the Bahamas. We have less men and more women here. And therefore, we see what's happening here with even from the family aspect, in terms of marriages and in terms of just having healthy relationships with each other. So, again, in closing, you know, I thank you guys for coming on and having such a program like this where men could actually have discussions with you guys and actually air out some of the issues that they may be experiencing as they go from a day-to-day basis. So, again, thank you, and I'll continue to listen. Good night to both of you.
Well, thank you very much for your positive and encouraging words. And I'll be the first one to say, the family islanders who live off the land and the sea are usually generally healthier. I'm a very big proponent of taking in organic food, avoid foods that have been subject to pesticides, insecticides, who have hormones in the chicken, in the beef. Sometimes the organic food is a little bit more expensive, but I'm a huge proponent of that. As a urologist, decade by decade, particularly in the last 50, 60 years, there's ongoing male infertility related to food intake and the hazardous environment that we're living in. So as a surgeon, I have the oldest subsection of patients. I routinely see patients in their late 80s, early 90s, mid 90s, and particularly from the Family Islands. They come in from Cat Island, Inagua, Rum Key. You wouldn't believe they're 98 years old. You wouldn't believe they're 94 years old. They look 30, 40 years younger.
And they're more active. I mean, activity is important.
They don't have
right?
that sedentary lifestyle.
Right.
They'll go.
Exactly.
They'll eat the fish.
I think that is most
they'll
important.
Farm for their food. Yes.
Right. You cannot understate the importance of physical activity. And I think, you know, that's what you see. That's the main difference that you see folks on the island. Yeah, nutrition, but still the physical activity, they walk.
And they never slow down.
They keep going. Because we drive everywhere and we don't have spaces really to go and move and be active and walk around. But in Family Island, I mean, you know, people can do that. And that's important. And I think we Nassuvians need to start thinking more about that, about the open spaces that we can utilize so that we can move around more. And I think, again, it's safer to walk and to be about on the island. So all of that contributes to an overall increase in health.
Well, I don't want to be remiss in talking about a very important subject related to testosterone, and that's the link between cardiovascular health. And that, in fact, I wrote an article on that, testosterone and cardiovascular health, in the NASA Guardian yesterday in the health section. And I have an article every single week for the last 8 years. So essentially, when we talk about cardiovascular health and testosterone, when you have low testosterone, there's always going to be an increased likelihood of plaque buildup in our arteries, which leading to atherosclerosis, which is a major cause of heart attacks and strokes. And when you have low testosterone, it also linked to higher levels of inflammation and higher levels of oxidative stress, again, strongly linked to heart disease. So studies have shown conclusively that low levels of testosterone can increase your risk of having a heart attack or a stroke. We have another call coming in. Good evening. This is Urologist Speaks.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Pinto. Sorry for calling back. Dr. Francis, I got your name. Dr. Pinto.
Yes.
You know, I had to call back because I want the public to know how ignorant I was. And I want to give, this is a perfect example of why you should always consult with a family physician, your urologist or your specialist that you're seeing. You remember when I was in the hospital with my second resection, right?
Yes, sir.
And I was always reading as you come to the bedside. You know, you exude this confidence. And in my profound ignorance, remember when I said that I wanted to take out my testicles because I had read where it would stop the BPH, right?
Correct. And then you later went on to have a child.
And so today I'm still grateful because in listening to all of those side effects and repercussions, you see what I'm saying. So I know that the testicles produce 80% of the testosterone, and I can't remember which other organ does. I don't know if
adrenal glands
or something else produces.
Adrenal glands, which are above the kidneys.
Yeah.
So they're paired glands above the paired kidneys.
The liver is about 400 functions. I don't know who could remember all of those. But I just would like to highlight the fact that, to let Jeff know that that's exactly
what I was meaning when I was talking about the anti-gonadotropic attack. But what I wanted to highlight on, something touched my mind as it relates to, like back in the days, they say would castrate people or they would tie off the epididymis, right?
Yes.
Sperm duct, right? And so, how would that affect the testosterone level if they tie it off versus taking it out? And that's what I'd like to hear. And also, the fact that people are talking about genetically modified foods. And, doctor, you know, I respect you. You have a brilliant mind. You automatically jump to what I would say. I am more concerned about pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides. Genetically modified foods, there are different methods in which they do it. So can you do a show on that, like maybe down the line? Because people need to understand that not everything genetically modified doesn't have any nutrition in it. People think that when something is genetically modified, that it's automatically no good. You know, the Sensimilla plant is genetically modified and is a hybrid. And a lot of things are hybridized for different reasons.
I think that's an excellent show, and I know there's some nutritionists out there who have their PhD and are very well learned in that topic. Well, I'll definitely bring one on, and we'll have a lively discussion.
That'll be a good show. I think he wanted to talk about the effect of castration, or what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I think it's a valid point he raised there. I think the castration is done for something totally different, not BPH.
Yeah, no. Right? So castration is something that's rarely done in urology or medicine anymore. It used to be maybe 50 years ago where it was one of the mainstays of treatment for metastatic advanced prostate cancer because you're limiting the androgens and you basically can halt and stop the progression of metastatic prostate cancer, but you have to look at the counter. When you lower your testosterone level, there are also a lot, as we mentioned, all the negative side effects of low testosterone, you actually can increase your risk of cardiovascular death. So for certain individuals, particularly individuals who already have a high cardiovascular risk, if you happen to have metastatic prostate cancer, and no one should, first of all, because prostate cancer is so easy to pick up and treat, if you end up having metastatic prostate cancer and we opt to give you androgen deprivation therapy, you can potentially increase your risk of dying of a cardiovascular event, a heart attack, a stroke by 20%, and you may reduce your chance of dying of prostate cancer by about 15-20%. So for some individuals, you pick your poison.
Right? It's a trade-off.
So don't think that castration doesn't have numerous negative side effects, including increasing your risk of cardiovascular death.
But it does have benefit to some people, you'd admit.
No. The negative including you not having an erection. So no man in this country wants to hear about castration. No,
but here's though. I mean, and a lot of men in our society, and I'm not promoting this, right, but a lot of men with prostate cancer in the Bahamas present at very late stages, right? And more often metastatic. And I mean, I've seen it. I don't do this kind of work, but I've seen, I don't know if I've ever seen you do it, but I've seen where castration to reduce the level of testosterone, because testosterone increases the mortality, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not a urologist, or increases the metastatic, or worsens the metastatic state of patients with prostate cancer.
Yeah,
that's the whole idea.
That's what we're talking about, androgen deprivation, so that's surgical castration versus medical castration. We can provide castration.
Right.
So a man can not lose his testicles, which can have a profound negative impact on his psyche and his self-esteem. And if we can get over
I think at that point where they have metastatic prostate cancer and all of that, that's probably the least issue to the area, right?
For prostate cancer, you can have metastatic disease and you could live 10, 15 years. And you would love to be sexually active in those 10, 15 years. So let's say you have advanced disease and we're trying to provide some androgen deprivation because you have an aggressive form of the disease. Let's say we put you into remission. We can stop the medical castration, androgen deprivation. We can't put back the testicles we removed.
Understood.
So it's something that we don't want to put psychologically on someone when we don't have to. And through NIB, through the drug plan program, medical castration is available for free. Okay. It's available for free. So it's not a cost issue. In some countries where it's a cost issue, surgical castration obviously is the easiest route because it's not expensive. But where we can give you an injection of androgen deprivation every 3 months and it's provided for free, that's the better. And not only that, we aim for intermittent castration. So that means when your levels of, for example, prostate-specific antigen are so low or the disease is regressed, we can withhold the androgen deprivation, improve your quality of life, reduce the chance of cardiovascular side effects, and still not put you at risk because of the prostate cancer progressing.
Gotcha. All right.
So as we get older, we talk about testosterone. We also want to talk about, as one of the callers mentioned, enlargement of the prostate. It's an inevitable part of getting older. If you're blessed with advanced age, you're going to have an enlarged prostate. It's just inevitable. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Not next week. Next week, we're actually going to talk with one of our learned colleagues, gastroenterologist Dr. Gemma Rowe, because it's Colon Cancer Awareness Month. And that's a very troubling problem in our society where even younger persons are being diagnosed with advanced colon cancer.
So two overall for both men and women.
Yeah, so we need to get on top of colon cancer in terms of surveillance. No one needs to be dying of colon cancer. If we can do routine colonoscopy starting at the age of 45, we can pick up pre-malignant polyps, prevent them from becoming malignant. We can prevent colon cancer down the road. All right, I'd like to thank everybody for joining in. I thank you for all the calls in, and we're going to have another wonderful talk and discussion next week. Thank you very much for being here, Dr. Wesley Francis.
Thank you.
Good night, Bahamas. Without the lead.